Okay. This is supposed to be special fellowship, right? Well, what shall it be? I have several things in mind, and I haven't. I'm not really that set on anything, but I thought maybe I could share a little bit, and then maybe you can be considering something to ask. Like some, I know at lunchtime, brother had a question for me. It was kind of interesting, but there may be some other questions that you may have, and I'm certainly open to questions that maybe that you have. Just to see if, because often when you do have questions, you may have that question, but others can get the help just by the fellowship. I was based on some of the fellowship. I was thinking about some verses in Matthew. So, you know, the fellowship we've had so far, and a lot of it has to do with prayer. And in Matthew 6, I couldn't help but think about a few verses, you guys. And I don't know what your prayer life is like, but I always found this very helpful to me. It's in Matthew chapter 6. And you know, I was, just so you know, I was in business for, in the IT business for decades. And, in the year 2000, after 30 years in the business, I quit to serve the Lord full time. And, during those years, in the church, I took care of YP, that's young people, mostly high school age, some junior high for a while, and then mostly high school. And one thing I realized with the high school, I'd go into a high school meeting, and you know what? There wasn't hardly anybody there that was interested in enjoying the Lord or, you know, that interested at all. And so what I did, thank you, there's something I kind of determined in myself. I learned a little something. And that is, I realized these young people, they may not be enjoying the Lord, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to enjoy the Lord in front of them. I don't care what they may not be listening, they may be talking, they may be doing this or that, but you know what? I'm going to enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
I'm going to be there, and I'm not going to let this stop me. You know, just because somebody's not interested, I'm going to enjoy the Lord. And eventually, I did this for years with YP, young people that they weren't enjoying the Lord. But eventually they did. But the main thing I was impressed with, even as time went on, was that there was a testimony. The Lord needs some that care to testify concerning him that he's enjoyable. After all those years, you know what I realized? They realized and they testified. They can't say that Jesus is not enjoyable. If they see somebody enjoying the Lord, guess what? They're going to realize, that crazy Ken. Why is he so crazy? Okay, he enjoys the Lord. Yeah. But eventually they realize, you know what? I think Jesus is enjoyable.
Amen.
He eats Christ. He drinks Christ. He enjoys Christ. And eventually they can never say, Jesus is not enjoyable. Is Jesus enjoyable? He really is, you guys. He's so enjoyable. Anyway, so there were a couple of verses here that I really liked. In particular, it's Matthew 6, verse 6. And it goes like this. But you may be familiar with this, but you, when you pray, enter into your private room and shut your door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will what? Will repay you. Whoa, I like that part. And so this is not just, number one, I realize as time has gone on that all my years, even with my family, my girls, I have five girls, they're all in the church life. You know, one of them's getting ready to get married, the last one. Four have married, have kids, and the last one's getting married. But with all of them, they saw a dad who enjoys the Lord. And they saw someone who cared about the Lord. And I'm not anything special. I'm just, I just hope I'm normal, halfway normal. But the, this verse shows us that when we contact the Lord, when we turn our heart to Him to get into His presence, we need to learn how to shut the door. Let's all say that. Shut the door. Again, shut the door. When we come to be with the Lord, we need to shut the door and pray to your Father who's in secret. It should be a secret place. Well, you know, here's what I learned. I learned when I go in with the high schoolers, I'm there, and there's high schoolers all around. And you know what I do? Even with the high schoolers, what I do? Shut the door. Shut the door. It's like, I don't see you. I don't care what you're doing. I don't want you thinking. I do care. But you know what? All the time, every meeting we come to, every meeting I come to, I practice. Shut the door.
Amen.
I'm here to be with the Lord.
Amen.
It's not about coming here and performing or trying to stir each other up or trying to be the right brother or sister. I just want to come. I think you all know what I'm saying. We all need to practice coming together and just forget about the person behind you. Forget about who's looking at you. Forget about if your hair is right. Forget about everything. You know, just forget everything else and shut the door. And then what? I would say pray or sing or enjoy the Lord or call or praise. All that can be done. The best place to do that is where? It's just in your spirit. So you just kind of have to shut the door to everybody. Forget about Vanya. You know, is that, did I say it right?
Yeah,
Vanya. Forget about it. He might not like what I'm doing over here. Forget about what people think. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And just enjoy the Father who's in secret. Enjoy the Lord who's in your inner man. Just touch Him. Enjoy Him. Sing. Praise Him. Thank Him. Be a speaking person.
Amen.
And guess what? There's a lot that happens when you do that. Number one, you enjoy the Lord and you get saturated with the Lord. You get a little saturated, just a little bit more, a little bit more. Like I was telling you about that Harvard student, this big old guy. He's there. He's singing in the kitchen. What do you think's happened to him? He's just singing and singing. Those guys danced back to Harvard. They were just so joyful. They were so happy. Why? Because they were just, they were a blip. They didn't even know what they were doing. Forget about the dishes. They couldn't even see the dishes. All they could see, they were enjoying the Lord. After it's all over, oh, wow, we did the whole kitchen. It's all clean. Really what they were doing, they were just enjoying the Lord. So it doesn't matter what your surrounding is, your situation. We should be able to enjoy the Lord everywhere.
Amen.
Everywhere. You're on the bus. You know, one time we were in New York City, and I had a bunch of Texas students. We came to New York City, and the first time a lot of us got on the subway. We're on the subway. And then there's this one brother. It's kind of cram-packed, and there's a whole bunch of, there were 60 of us. And this one brother, he reaches in his pocket, and he pulls out a harmonica. And we're thinking, oh no, what's he going to do? And he put the harmonica to his mouth, and oh no, he's going to make us sing. We're going to have to sing on the subway with all these people around. And he started playing a song. And we were forced to, we just had to sing with him, you know. So here we are, 60 students on the subway singing. And it was, and once we got our mouth open and started singing in oneness, the enjoyment was like, to the roof.
Amen.
See, it doesn't matter where you are. In fact, at that time, the subway came to a stop, and this gentleman got out, an older man in a nice suit. He stopped. He started to get off of it. He said, hey, can I just say something? I've been traveling on this subway for 30 years, and I've never seen anything like this. This was awesome. Thank you. I've been so refreshed. And he got off. And somebody ran and gave him a track. But anyway, the point is, saints, we need to practice.
Amen.
practice learning how to shut the door, forget about what people are thinking, forget who's around. You're in a meeting. Don't worry about the one next to you. You know, just let your being get released into God's presence. Just touch Him. Look at Him. Amen. Him. Oh, I just love it. Let Him beam His beauty into you. And the only way you can do that is to get to your spirit. Call and turn your being to the Lord and shut the door. Forget about you. What's your name?
William.
Just forget about William. I'm here. I'm sitting next to him, but guess what? Forget about you. I'm not going to hit you, you know, but I'm just like, but you know what happens when you start enjoying the Lord? Eventually others can start. They may actually help you. Just like on the subway, eventually we just all started singing and we helped each other. And everybody got refreshed, and the people on the bus, on the subway got refreshed. But isn't it interesting here? He says, shut your door, pray to your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees in secret. What does he say? He will, isn't that good? He will, let's all say it, repay you. What is it? Why does he say that? We're praying, and all of a sudden he says, just you're spending that time with me, I will pay you. You're paying a price to just enjoy a little bit. Guess what? I'm going to give you something. It's payday. Every time we get to the Spirit, every time we sing, every time we pray, every time we praise, every time. It's payday, you guys. It's time to get the most valuable commodity in the universe added into your being. God getting added to you just in those little moments. It's too wonderful. So, I don't think I'll go any further than that. Just a little something I enjoyed. You know, well, there is one other thing that's related to this, and that is speaking. I hope you'd realize that as human beings, we were made in a particular way. God made us in His image. And guess what? God is a speaking God. He wants to speak, and He has been speaking throughout the ages. He spoke in the Son, and now He's speaking again through us, through the Word. Well, He wants to speak in us. He made us with a mouth. He made us with tongue, with a throat. You know, all the things related to, on one hand, eating, but actually, it's also speaking. Mainly, it's for speaking. So, we should be a speaking people. And I'm not just talking about talking trash, or talking all kinds of stuff. The Lord needs to use our mouths for His purpose. Okay, there's when I was in high school, and actually when I started college, I was actually a shy person. You probably can't believe it, but I was actually shy. William, were you shy?
Sometimes,
yeah. Me too. I was probably a lot. I mean, I had my friends, and my friends, they were the ones that were all yakety-yak-yak, and I was there laughing, but I wasn't initiating anything. I was just I was just a listener. I just listened to everybody. But when I came into the church life, you guys, I found my mouth. And my mouth, there's a lot of things that happen when you start exercising to speak. When you speak, when you sing, there's something that goes on. Your spirit gets stronger, and you become a different kind of person. And I would say this, speaking, practice speaking. Take opportunity to speak for the Lord, because not only are you gaining the Lord and others get refreshed, but even, I'm saying this even from a just an academic standpoint, listen, you'll do better in school. You'll do better in your jobs. Listen, all the speaking that I started doing, and it wasn't like up here. It was just speaking. And I started in business, in the IT profession. And listen, next thing you know, you have to give little presentations. I mean, at one point, I was in front of General Motors, hundreds of leaders from General Motors, and I'm having to give a presentation. What happened? It was wonderful. No problem. I've been speaking in the meetings for years. And now I'm speaking in General Motors to all these directors and vice presidents and so forth. And guess what? It was a piece of cake. No problem. Why? because I had a practice of speaking in the church life. It was so beneficial. Speaking here, speaking there all the time. And I'm not saying that I'm not, you have to realize, and I think you do know, that I don't have a speaking function. It's not like, oh, I'm a good speaker. I don't really know how to speak. All I know is I just keep my mouth open and I try to speak Christ.
Amen.
And somehow the Lord just keeps me speaking all the time.
Amen.
And so I just would encourage you, be a speaking person. Don't be afraid to speak. Our brother once said one time, he said this, in a meeting, for example, there's time to speak. Well, he said this first. He said, okay, this is a bit of wisdom. He said, on one hand, you shouldn't speak in the meetings unless you're in the Spirit. Okay, that's good. Good advice. Okay, don't speak. William, are you in the Spirit?
Amen.
Amen. Oh, okay, you can speak. But if you're not in the Spirit, you better not speak. But then he turned around, he said, on the other hand, you should speak anyway. Whoa, what is he saying? Speak in the meeting, even if you don't have the assurance you're in the Spirit? Yes. He said, when you speak, you find out where you are before the Lord. You find out, oh my goodness, I'm so short. I need more God. And that's really the case every time I speak. And it should be the same case with you. Every time you speak, don't you have the sense, oh, I need more of the Lord? Or you may have the sense, wow, that was kind of good. Maybe at that point you were full of the Lord and you had the sense that, yes, that was good. But generally, he said, you need to speak to find out where you are. You find out how short you are. And it causes you to go to the Lord. Lord, give me more God. Lord Jesus, I need more of you.
Amen.
And so you're always gaining the Lord, gaining the Lord, gaining the Lord. On the other hand, there's something else that happens. If you don't speak, and this is something you need to be careful about and you need to be warned. Listen, if you don't speak, guess what happens? You become one of those sitting and criticizing everybody. You don't want to, but you just think, oh yeah, she did a pretty good job. Oh, she was too long. Oh, look at him. He couldn't get the words out right. Oh, you know, you're sitting there just critiquing everybody who speaks. That's what happens if you don't speak. But if you're a person who speaks, guess what? You're sympathetic to everybody. We're all growing. We're all developing. We're all learning. So, you know, it's kind of like in football. If you're not in the game, you know, they call it, what, Sunday morning? Some kind of a, anyway, after the game's over, you're the best quarterback. You know, you can talk about, oh, that quarterback did this. And, yeah, the defense was really bad. And, oh, so-and-so, you know, he bobbled the ball. He dropped the ball 3 times, you know. And you become critical of everybody on the team as if you know how to be a quarterback. Same thing in the meetings. You're just like, oh, I know how to prophesy. I know how to speak for Christ. Actually, you don't. So the best thing I could do is say, practice. Practice speaking. Practice. Listen, it'll be beneficial for your spiritual growth. It'll be beneficial for the refreshment of the saints. It'll help build the church. And it'll help you even in your academic and your real life situations in the work world. Do you believe that? No, you don't believe it, do you? It's true. Come on. Okay, now then, how about a question or two? Anybody come up with something you want to ask? Off the wall, on the wall, anything? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Balance your school and work. Okay. Yeah. How do you guys do that? How do you balance the church life, school, work? How many actually have jobs besides going to school? Yeah. Yeah. It's a good number. You have to work. And then some, you have the church life to take care of. Well, I can't say that I was the best at balancing the church life myself. I think the only thing that I can kind of rely on a lot is it's just a certain practice that helped, I would say, govern my days. Number one was primarily it was having a time with the Lord in the morning. I can't get around that. Young people, your life will you'll live your life on your own and without the Lord unless you build up a practice of touching the Lord. You know, in the morning, you've got to get to that place where you and the Lord, even if it's for 10 minutes, you take a verse, you love the Lord, you tell him you love him, you thank the Lord for what's on that verse, and then you go on your way. Just have a little touch with the Lord in the morning. That here's what the Lord said, and I really trust this. He said this. He said, "He who eats me shall live because of me." Spontaneous. If you eat me, you'll live because of me. Let's all say, amen.
Amen.
In fact, repeat after me. He who eats me.
He who eats me.
Oh, he who eats me.
He who eats me.
Oh, eats me.
Eats me.
He also.
Shall live.
Oh, live.
Live.
Because of me.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. This is the fact. The Lord said it, and it's true. If you eat the Lord, spontaneously, you don't have to think about it. You live because of him. And often, decisions are made based on and out of that enjoyment of the Lord. But I'm sorry, you guys, if you don't have that practice, you just live on your own. You live apart from the Lord. And to me, it's not, there's never a balance. Because a lot of times we don't, when you're eating the Lord, enjoying the Lord, it helps you balance your life. Mainly, it helps you not waste so much time. Because generally, most of you, like I did, you waste a lot of time. I took this time management course, you know, while I was in work. There's kind of a thing, a presentation they had. And they showed me all of us an hourglass, you know. The sand is going through, and they put it down on the table. And look, this is your life. It's all running out. The most precious commodity you have is time. And you're sitting there looking at it, ooh, it's going out. And then what they did was they had us keep a record of our life in 15-minute increments. How in the world do you do that? But it's part of the course, so we had to keep track of my life, you know. And then they had us all come back together, and then you just go through and look at it. The time you wasted, it was just, you were doing nothing. You were wasting your life away. You said all that time just wasting. So anyway, that kind of helped open my eyes a little bit about scheduling, being a scheduled person. And that's why I think you all know, some of you have had courses like that. Even the Lord would prompt you need to be scheduled. Be scheduled. If you're not scheduled, if you don't schedule reading the Bible, are you going to read the Bible?
No.
If you schedule a time with the Lord, are you going to be with the Lord? No, it's like, oh, maybe I will. Oh, I feel dead. Maybe I better get with the Lord. No, just schedule time. Make it part of your life. To me, that's the only way to be balanced. Enjoy the Lord and be a scheduled person. That's the first thing that pops into my mind. Amen. Another question. This brother asked me a question about the Lord coming back. Didn't you?
Yeah.
You want to ask anything about that?
When is the Lord coming back?
When's the Lord coming back? Let me just start off by this. I'll just say this. We've had some fellowship, and this next week we're going to have a college outing in which the fellowship will be, the title of it, the topic is Preparing for the Lord's Return. And Ron Kangas was just with us, and he had a conference with us, and the title of it was The Preparation of the Bride. And he spoke a lot of things about the coming of the Lord. And are those questions?
No.
Oh, no, okay.
Empty sheets, if you want.
And so one thing I would say this, young people, If I had one thing in me, there's one thing that just kind of it burns in me more than it did, you know, in other years, and that is, I just long for all of you to have the realization and the appreciation that the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. You know, world history has been just moving along. Anybody like history? History has just been moving along. And listen, we're at a certain juncture. And you look at history, you can see what's been happening. Wow, this. And here we are. We're living in the 21st century. And look at the world situation. It's a unique situation. It's really chaotic. But at the same time, there's another kind of history going on. It's the divine history. Something behind the human history. And this is where we are those in this divine history. We're making history in the divine realm. We're those, while the Lord is getting the whole earth situation ready, what are we doing? We're getting ourselves ready for the right time in the world situation for Him to get what He wants. Because actually, everything He's doing in the world is a setup for what's going on in the divine history. God has a purpose. He has a desire, and He's working out the preparation of His bride. And He needs overcomers. He needs overcomers, you guys. That, I don't know if that could even get into your being, but I still had to say it. Lord, make me an overcomer.
Amen.
I hope there's something Lord, make me an overcomer. You have to realize that at the end of the Bible, this is at the end of the Bible in Revelation, you have after all these years, these Christians have been on the earth. Christians have been on the earth, and the Lord has a call to all the believers at the end of the Bible, at the end of the age, at this juncture in our time. He's issuing a call for what? Overcomers. Why would you have to overcome? I'm saved. William, are you saved? Do you need to overcome? Yeah, but you're already saved.
I still need to overcome.
You still need to overcome. And that's not me. That's the Lord calling. You know, he said some things to those churches, to believers. You know, he said, you're lukewarm. I want to spew you out of my mouth. You know, to another, you have a name that you're living, but you're dead. You need to overcome. Ephesus. What was wrong with Ephesus? Tell me somebody. What was wrong with Ephesus? Luis, what do you remember? They left their first love. The Lord warned them, oh, you're so good. Ephesus, you've done this. But guess what? You left your first love.
Amen.
So you realize at the end of the Bible, and even I would say at our juncture in our life, in your life, which is a critical time, the Lord is really desirous of overcomers that would heed His word that He speaks to all those churches. I wish you could get into those seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3. If I could do it, I'd love to get into that with you. But eventually He tells Laodicea, this is a church. He's knocking on the door. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens, so anyone, is there anybody in the church who will open the door? He's there knocking. If anyone hears my voice, open the door and I will come into him and I will dine with him. He doesn't say, I'll come in and I'll teach you. I'll come in and help your behavior. I'll come in and make you better. Is that what he wants? He's knocking at the door. Anybody go open the door? To what? Come in and?
Dine.
Dine. Don't you love that word? Let's all say it. Dine. It's to feast. Can you have a feast by yourself?
No.
A feast is just, it's with others that are overcoming, that love the Lord. Listen, he's looking for some that will dine with him. So, I don't know about you, but there's something in me, Lord, I want to bring you back, but I may not be here. I may not be around, but I want the ones this generation that will probably see the Lord come back. Do you realize you're probably the generation that won't see death? Of all of mankind, there's a generation that will not die. Think about that. Isn't that interesting? Because the Lord will come back. You won't have to go through death. You may go through something else. You know what I mean? We have to give an account to the Lord. It's not death. You know, but we have to give an account. But we may never die because the Lord's coming. I know you don't believe this. Emmanuel, is it possible the Lord could come in your lifetime? Absolutely. Just look at him. Listen, he will probably not die. Just look at him. Emmanuel, you don't even have to worry about death. Probably in your lifetime, the Lord will come. If you don't drive crazy and all that kind of stuff. Do stupid things. So I just hope that puts something in you. Lord, I need to consider. Am I going to be an overcomer? Do I want to be an overcomer? And what does an overcomer do? I'll keep it real simple. You know what an overcomer does? He comes over and over. He just comes over and over. Just don't stop coming to the Lord. Over and over.
Amen.
He'll make you ready.
Amen.
But, what was your name again? Huh?
David.
David. Oh, yeah, David. He asked a question about, this is kind of a sidebar, but he had a question about, oh my goodness, about, yeah, the wilderness, the U.S. And he had some thought about, because of the political situation, we're actually, oh my goodness, y'all stop. Because of the political situation, it seems like more and more the U.S. or North America, whatever it is becoming, it could become a wilderness that those that are persecuted during the tribulation will flee to the wilderness on eagle's wings, which we've heard from the ministry probably refers to the U.S. And that was his thought even before he heard that that's what's kind of in the ministry, that it could be us, that especially as we become more isolated, the walls go up in America to stop so many things going on. Eventually we'll become the wilderness others flee to be free from the Antichrist that's set up. You guys, listen, it wasn't that long ago. Can you believe the state of Israel? Israel was not a nation until 1945. Is it 45? 48, yeah. In 1948, Israel became a nation. Israel was, they were Jews scattered all over the earth. They had no homeland. But after almost 2,000 years, all of a sudden, boom, Israel's a nation. What is this? And it's so perfect with prophecy. The Lord already talked about it. He said when Israel becomes a nation, it the time is near, you know. And not only that, in 1967, in the Seven-Day War, Israel came in and boom, they got all of Jerusalem, the rest of Jerusalem, which matched the scriptures. Oh, everything's set up now. If you're a believer, it's like, what? Christians, they talk about it, but they don't know what the Lord's waiting on. They realize everything's ready now. The Jews have, there's a place for the temple. There's a place for the Antichrist to come do his evil deeds. Well, you're living at the time when all this is happening. And of course, you know, the Middle East, all the problems in the Middle East. Listen, that's perfect situation for the coming of someone who can bring peace to the whole situation, which the Antichrist will do. Okay, enough of that. Oh, that's a good one. How to express Christ to your parents that aren't in the church life. Let me just see. I better not go there. I can't explain that one. Okay, one of them asked a question. What if you don't like spending time with the Lord or the serving ones? Well, I what comes to mind is, what do you like spending time with? Who do you like spending time with? What will happen is, when the Lord comes, he'll let you be with whoever you like to be with. And he'll just leave you. He'll come and you'll miss the wedding feast. Not that you won't be with the Lord for eternity, but you'll miss the feast, the prize, the reward, because you just want to, you're not open to others that love the Lord, and even you don't. So, you know, for example, if all you love is computer games, well, what do you think is going to happen when the Lord comes? You're going to be left with your computer games. You won't be with the Lord. Eventually, what the Lord does, you know, He rewards those that love Him.
Amen.
You know, He tells the overcomers, enter into the joy of your Lord. What if you're not in? What, Dennis? Would the Lord say to you if you're enjoying computer games and that's all that was your life? If He said to you, Dennis, enter into the joy of your Lord. Yeah, you say, what? I don't enjoy the Lord. Why would I want to do that? See, you're not even ready. You see, you're enjoying something else. So I would just, I go back to what I said before on that one. Develop a touch with the Lord individually. There was one brother I was serving with. I couldn't stand. I couldn't even listen to his prayers. Like, oh, I couldn't say amen. Every time he prayed, it was like fingernails on a chalkboard. And it bothered me so much. I didn't want to be. But you know, that bothered me. It caused me to go to the Lord. Lord, why am I so upset? Why? And eventually, guess what? The Lord did. Just by talking to the Lord gave me His feeling about that brother and how much He loved that brother and what He was doing in that brother to transform him and prepare him for his bride. I got melted by the Lord. All of a sudden, I got filled with love for that brother. And I just, eventually after that, I'm so glad that happened, because after that he got a fatal disease. And I'm so glad I didn't have something against him. Instead, when I saw him after that at conferences, all I want to do is just sit down, so-and-so, tell me what you've been enjoying. I just wanted to listen to his voice. So it went from to, I love your voice. Just share with me. See, the Lord can do things in us. He can change us. Why? Oh, my goodness, these are so hard. Yeah. Seek first His kingdom. What's the best time to go to the training? How do you seek the Lord's leading regarding the future? It's true. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, all these things will be added. But there's also other things to consider. There's fellowship in the body. How does the body feel? There's considerations about your environment. Your environment may have been a situation where it's not the right time. It's going to the full-time training, for those that know about that. It's not the course for everyone. I have 5 daughters, and I don't mind saying it, that only 2 out of 5 went to the full-time training. But the other 3, I realized it's not their course. You know, they got through college, and 2 of them love birds. They just had to get married right away. Well, they wanted to go to the full-time training, but guess what? They got married. And then they still wanted to go to the full-time training. Oh, she had a baby. Oh, no, this is getting rough. Next thing you know, they have 3 babies. And there's no going to the full-time training. That's not their course. But they did, as time has gone on. Guess what? They got into the online training. And they loved it. And they're getting some things, benefits from the online training that others in the training don't get. So, you know, it's different for different ones, you know. But as far as, it's good to just seek the Lord and be in fellowship with the body. You know, how do you feel before the Lord? How do you feel with one, you know, with the members of the body? The brothers in your church, how do they feel? Where do I think the Ark of the Covenant is? I don't know. It's somewhere. I don't know. Where do I think it is? Probably Turkey somewhere, hiding. Okay. Okay, that one. There's one that says, why does the Lord not answer your prayer when you think your prayer is for God's purpose? That's a good question. What would you say, Emmanuel? Why would the Lord not answer prayer if you think it's in your His? It's for God's purpose. I'm not either, but actually, you know, there's just some principles in the Word, and you realize as time goes on that some things that we ask for, they demand a certain kind of a cooperation on our part, and that is, you know, in John 15 he says if we ask anything, you know, if we ask anything in His name, He'll give it to us. Well, the prerequisite to that is if we abide in Him and He abides in us, then ask what you will, and whatever you ask will be given to you. So there's a little bit of the Lord wants us to abide in Him. And so some of the things that we ask for are according to His will, but guess what? He delays it. He may delay it. I've seen so many prayers, you guys, that are answered, but not in the time we want. It's just not the right time. He has a way of stretching things out until we gain a lot of God. I can give you example on example of ones that are suffering. They're going through something, and we pray for them, and nothing happens, it seems like. Actually, what's happening, I'll just tell you, for example, my daughter, my fifth daughter, okay, daddies want their daughters to get married, and the daughters want to get married, and they're worried to death, and there's nobody for me, you know, and I'm going to be one of those who just, you know, no husband. And you know what? If you're the daddy, you're just like, you're grieving, you know, no, where is her husband? You know, and so, listen, years went by. She was so sad and so down about it. And that makes, when daughters are sad, daddies are sad. So what do you think happened with me? I was praying a lot, praying. But why is the Lord delaying? Surely He wants her to get married. But He delayed until He felt He was satisfied with what had happened with me, as far as even my family, my wife. And that is, we prayed so much. Guess what? We got a lot of God added to us. We had a lot of transactions, a lot of time with the Lord. We got so much God. And guess what? He finally did it, and she's engaged and getting married, but He did it in His time, not our time. So He answered the prayer, but man, years later, until He got all of us, including her, desperately going to the Lord. Because sometimes things like that, you just think, well, the Lord will do it someday. But really what the Lord wanted was us to pray. You know, sometimes we just wait. We don't do anything, but the Lord wants us to pray. And sometimes we may, the Lord is really good at being God, and He's producing all of us as part of His masterpiece, and the things He does and works in our lives, they don't fit into our brain that much. Okay. Oh, is it time to stop? Okay, can you... Okay, it says, let me look at this. How express to your parents when you're in the church life, who aren't in the church life, and then what will happen on the day of the Lord's coming? And what's next? Ooh. You know, just regarding this, just sometimes the Lord needs to wake us up. There was a young man, I just felt like he needed to be wakened up. And I noticed in the New York Times, week after week after week after week, day after day, there was always an article about peace in the Middle East. Something about, you know, the Lord's, not the Lord, but peace. I mean, this is going way back. Presidents have wanted to make that part of their legacy, to solve the problem of peace in the Middle East. And they worked hard at it. And so I took this one young brother, and I took him to the library. Pulled out all these old, these newspapers, articles. And on the front page of all, for the whole month, it was Middle East peace treaty stalled. Talks continue concerning the peace treaty. And we all know that that's what's going to happen. There's going to be a peace treaty signed that will bring peace to the Middle East. And then there'll be 3.5 years of peace. Sounds wonderful. Well, actually, the one who eventually comes up with this peace treaty is the Antichrist. He's probably alive somewhere on the earth. Anyway, there's someone who will come and solve this temporarily. And that's what will happen next. But I would say that's just in human history. At the same time, I can tell you something else that's going to be happening. And that is the Lord's going to be building the church. And primarily, he's going to be doing that in a very hidden, real way through those who are enjoying vital groups. Those that are being blended together, and they're expressing Christ all over the earth. This is something precious to him. It's the building of the church. It's building. That doesn't mean, oh yeah, I meet together on Sunday. It means that we're being built together. Built together. There's something that the Lord never has gotten in all these last 2,000 years. It's building. And he needs you and I to be a part of that. That's why I get excited when I talk about our group meetings, what's happening there. You have all these Harvard students coming together, and they're getting blended. They're in our homes day by day. Day after day, they come here, they come there, they're enjoying the Lord. Listen, and we're praying. The Lord loves this kind of activity. We're getting blended together. When I was at UCLA in our group, we got so blended together for a time. And that's the ones, I would say, some couples, college students, some young working saints, we were all there together, and we just got blended together. We would just eat together. And eventually we started taking care of one another. And then after taking care of each other, what else did we do? We cared for the students. But the end was this. The Lord loved that kind of blending. He never had that. These weren't just people just kind of meeting together. Okay, I'm with William now.
Yeah, you're William, I'm me. But we're not blended.
Listen, the Lord blended us. He's blending the saints together. And out of that blending, he answers those prayers. Listen, some of those prayers were incredible. Some of you heard the stories, you know, if you were at the training. But one brother was getting ready to get laid off. He worked for, he was a scientist. He's getting ready to lay off. We said, no. So they put him down lower on the layoff list. We prayed again. They took him off the layoff list. And so one of the other ones, oh, my dad's been out of a job and worries my mom, and I can't hardly study thinking about that. So we prayed. Oh, her dad got a job. Praise the Lord. You know, all we're doing is just being blended, caring for each other, praying for one another, and the Lord just, yum, yum. He's liking this. And so next thing you know, there's all kinds of things happen. You know, somebody wanted to, they want to lose weight, which I didn't care for that kind of prayer, but we prayed anyway. Let's just pray. We're one with each other. She's worried about losing weight, and all she wanted was I could stay on the weight on the diet for 3 weeks. If I stay on it for 3 weeks, I know I can make my goal of losing 50 pounds. I don't like praying for things like that, but we prayed. Guess what? She did it. She stayed on it, lost 50 pounds. Hallelujah. You know, things like that happen all over the place, one after the other. One trainee came to me. Oh, my sister back in Atlanta. She's been 5 months. She hadn't found a job. Could your group pray for us? So I went back to all the ones in our home. There's somebody in Atlanta wants us to pray for her. So we prayed. Amen. We'll pray for her. Guess what? She got a job right away. Things like that happen again and again and again and again. It was incredible. So the Lord wants the blending. This is what will be happening in the divine and mystical realm at the same time as the Lord is preparing the world situation. And listen, if you're not in vitality with others, listen, you will not be able to take it. Things will get rough. Obviously, there'll be 3.5 years of peace, but that's almost too late. We need to get ready. We need to get ready. We need to be prepared. Expressing the Lord to your parents, and then can you give practical ways to enjoy the Lord, COP for ones who are just learning about what enjoying the Lord is. Oh, practical ways to enjoy the... Oh, how many were in the college training, the last college training in summer? So, you remember the yum-yum? The yum-yum? Listen, that, to me, I've mentioned it then, I mentioned it again. With some of the ones that I've been with, the students, it's easy for them to read the word. There's this one guy, he's a football player at Harvard. And when we read the Bible in our home, he just da 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 da. I said, okay, no, okay, DJ, you gotta use the yum yum style. He said, okay, I knew it. So he'd start back over, and now what would he do? He would just read it phrase at a time, and we just repeat it. We just repeat it. And guess what? By the time he was through, the verse was just like, wow, that's incredible. And we're all just yum, yum. And as you're getting the life out of the word, it's the deliciousness of the word gets into us and nourishes us. Just this last Wednesday night, one of the Harvard students, you know, I stopped him. His name is Augustine. Okay, Augustine, now we better go back over that one. We'll just repeat after you. Okay. Listen, he got into it, and he was almost jumping out of his chair. Shall I just give an example real quick?
Yes, yes.
You want to try it, William? You know, no, they're shaking their head. Okay, I'll do something real quick, and you just repeat after me. Okay, just repeat after me. It's very simple. You take a verse, say John 10:10b. I am come. Repeat.
I have come.
No, I have come.
I have come.
Oh, I have come.
I have come.
That you might have life.
That you might have life.
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 Oh, life.
Life.
I'm come that you might have life. Okay, Vaughn, you got to do it right. You have to say it the same way I'm saying it. I've come that you might have life.
Okay.
I have come that you might have life.
I have come that you might have life.
Yeah, you even have to use your hands, you know. Life.
Life.
Everybody. And. Oh, and. There's more.
More.
That you might have it. Oh, William, you might have it.
Abundantly.
Oh, abundantly.
Abundantly.
Oh, life abundantly.
Life abundantly.
Listen, there was a longer verse. And listen, Augustine was just, we were just crazy. Even the singing was just, the windows were open. Neighbors were coming by smiling and, you know, what's going on? That's one way. The other thing to me, I go back to what I said last night. That is singing. You guys learn to sing. Sing and let the Lord just move you. Let him touch you. Enjoy singing. That, to me, is key in the way of enjoying the Lord. You know, it's one thing to read the Bible. What I used to do was... It was always amazing. Before I'd go off to a campus, you know, I went to work, but in the morning I enjoy reading a whole chapter, read just a chapter in the Bible, and then take one verse and enjoy it. Yum yum. One verse gets into me, but I read the whole chapter, and then in the evening I'd go to the campus with a brother, and I get in on the way to the dorms. I think. I don't remember anything I read this morning. Did I remember anything? Oh, I don't know what. I don't know if I have anything for the students. But I get with a student. Guess what? Not just that verse that I enjoyed, but the whole chapter would come alive. I couldn't believe I'd remember things that I didn't think I'd even remember because I just read it. But I'd get in that environment and the Lord would just bring back my memory of those verses. And they became life to the ones around us. Okay, shall we stop? Expressing Christ to your parents who are not in the church life. Well, the thing about that is it takes time. And the best way to really express Christ with the parents is to live Christ, which means you live the virtues of Christ. Christ's patience, his kindness, his love, his long-suffering. You know, all the things that are in Christ need to become your virtues. And you can only get that by enjoying the Lord. So you have to enjoy the Lord a little bit. And with your parents, they need to see, whoa, he's not impatient, or he's not anxious, or he's kind to me. Oh, he's doing what I ask. You know, they need to see something of Christ lived out of us.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Amen.
Okay, sorry we got started so late on all this, but time is up, right? Okay. Okay, what should we do? How about a song? A short song. Do y'all know, let's see, how about, you may not know it though, Luis. Do you know, well, maybe you do. Do you know, I can't even think of one right now, I'm blank. Y'all have a song? Short and quick. A verse song. I'm the living bread. Everybody knows that, okay? Let's do it.
I am the living bread which came down out of heaven.
And the bread
which I will give
is my blood.
339 in the blue book.
Okay, well, we're starting at
339. Let's go again.
Okay.
339. Amen.
But even when you sing this, what do we want to do now? No, let's practice. What do you do? Shut the door.
Yep.
Forget about the brother next to you. Forget about the sister.
Amen.
What do you want to do? Lord, I am the living bread.
Amen.
Lord, I want bread right now.
Yes.
You know, get the juice out of the song.
Amen.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Okay. Get paid. It's payday right now.
Amen.
We're going to sing a song. God's going to pay us.
Amen.
David, why don't you just pray over that? We'll just repeat whatever you pray.
Amen.
Start at the front of that verse.
Oh, I am the living bread.
I am the living bread.
Which came down.
No, you can't go on that fast. Yeah, slow down, brother.
Yeah.
Start that first part again.
I am the living bread.
The living bread.
I am.
The living bread.
He is the living bread.
Living. You have to hit that word, living.
Living.
Bread.
Okay, keep on.
Which came down.
Praise the Lord. Which came down.
Which came down. Out of heaven.
Yes, out of heaven.
Out of heaven.
What does it say? To give what? Oh, if anyone eats.
Anyone eats.
Oh. Wait, come on.
Anyone eats.
anyone eats,
anyone eats
of this living bread, he shall live forever.
He shall live forever.
Even on the eats, you can't just study. You gotta. He who eats, you have to say. He who studies, and everybody said no. He who eats this bread,
amen.
And then you have to stay on that. On there's certain words that just bring life out of it.
Amen.
He who eats this bread.
Amen. He who eats this bread.
He who eats this bread.
Eats this bread.
Then you have to emphasize bread.
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 He shall live.
He shall live.
Oh, live.
Oh, live.
Amen.
Oh, live forever.
Live forever.
Okay, that's good. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You get the gist of it. In little times with others, just try this. Just one verse.
Amen.
You know, you can read a verse together, and then you can get drunk over one verse. Believe me.
Amen.
You know what I mean? In a proper, you can get just crazy in the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Should we go eat?
Eat.
That way.
Amen.
Eat.
Back here at Turn back here. 7:15. Or 7, whenever you finish eating, come and enjoy, sing. Amen.
Water. Yeah.
Water.
I heard that. That makes me crazy.
Water.
William, you got out of that one, didn't you?